What's up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, Season 3, Episode 14. We are gathered here today to bring you, the listener, the latest gaming news, impressions, and all things surrounding video games, but from a minority perspective. Today on the cast, I am joined by
your boy, JXBot, is back
with that fire energy.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, it's Sean MF Ross.
Hey, what the MF stand for?
Machine Gun Funk, baby.
Ooh, okay, okay. And?
This is Douglas.
Hey.
A.K.A. The Reporter at Large.
Ooh. And the host is DJ, A.K.A. Did you know?
Tell us.
That I have exhausted all knowledge of the world.
All of it?
All of it.
So you finished the internet?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess, how long is it going to take for the next DLC to kick in?
Find out. So on the next episode of Press Start.
So you know when God is dropping them new animals is what you're saying.
He goes through me first, but you know, we have a thing going. Cool. Yeah. Okay. Also, happy Easter, because when you hear this, it will no longer be Easter.
Hey.
So to move on, we're going to get into what we have been playing.
Oh my.
So Doug, what have you been playing?
Oh, I've been playing this game. I think some of you guys have heard of it. It's set in the West. It takes like 70 hours to complete. It's called Red Dead Redemption.
70 if you're not trying. It should take 100 hours.
Yeah, it's probably going to be like that. So I took about, about a 4-month hiatus from Red Dead.
Jeez.
Yeah. Wow. It was since January.
That's so almost I guess half a year.
Yeah, no,
3 months.
Half.
It's a quarter. And so, right.
Where's your math coming from?
Did you go to public school?
I don't know if I want you to be my lawyer.
It's almost half
anymore.
A year.
So,
what a high point.
So when I ended the game, I think I ended right after chapter 2. So I was in Clemens Point. And then I just got interested in it. At that point, I was playing a lot more of Overwatch, Anthem, ranking up.
Faster games.
And other games. Yeah, Popewatch stuff. So
why you say like
I got to give credit to Lil Nas X. It's because of him that I started clicking in because I, you know, listened to the song. And of course, he's using the Red Dead. It's one of the music videos. I'm like, you know, I should go back to this game. Mm. So okay. I finished chapter 3. Now I'm in chapter 4. Mm-hmm. I'm in Shady Bell. I love the ending of chapter 3, the cinematic scene where you're selling your score with the Braithwaites. Love that. Mm. And now, since I'm in Shady Bell, I'm in Saint Denis, and now the game kind of slowed back down to a crawl. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's like wanting to get off again type of thing.
Okay.
So, what's also been keeping me busy is playing Overwatch. I've gone back to the fold. Overwatch is just, it's just like a lover who just don't know how to treat you right. They have a new event called Storm Rising. It began on Tuesday, April 16th. It'll end on Monday, May 6th. There's new skins, voice lines, a highlight interest. But the biggest part here is that it's a new 4-person co-op story mode mission. It stars Winston, Mercy, Tracer, Genji. Only one of the four I actually play. Which
Genji.
Makes no.
Yeah, I never figured out how to play with Genji.
I usually I'd play Mercy.
Okay, Lamborghini Mercy. Yo chick, she's so thirsty.
Which is okay. It's a short mission. It is a little different. It's set in Havana, Cuba, which you know, I've been to Havana before, and you know, there are old catalogs, there are nice bright colored buildings. I don't imagine there being skyscrapers there being there anytime soon, but
or
in
Mercy's,
this version, yeah right. well, you know, she's from Europe, so her passport would be okay there. She doesn't go through the rigmarole that we have to as Americans. But there is weather elements in this game mode, but it doesn't really affect you, but you at least see it, because I guess, you know, Havana.
That's interesting.
It's an okay game. It's just underwhelming because I feel like there's...
What's the structure of it?
There are three basic parts, and you play together as your 4-stack, and you're basically going through a whole bunch of NPCs, most of whom are just regular soldiers that you shoot down.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a big boss in like the middle chapter of it, in the last chapter, there's a big boss in each. But otherwise, in terms of story, it's not a whole lot you get from it. I mean, it's pretty, but it's just such a... It's underwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, especially it's Havana. I think just be a little more liveliness to this area.
Right.
And it's just, to me, it's like just the most Americanized point of view. Oh, what is Havana? Because I would tell you, being in there, not everybody drives a 1950s Cadillac, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That's not how they roll. But it's been keeping me busy.
Okay. As long as it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Next up.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Sean.
What you been playing?
Apex. More Apex.
Okay.
Good. Good.
You climb the Apex.
You're funny. I try to stream it from time to time. I have like a regular group I get on with now.
Okay. Okay. Jordan. I'm sure the listeners would love to see you.
Yeah, Jordan has a band. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. I just want to see Sean punch people. That's what I tune into.
I put it back on for a second, but
yeah. You dabble?
I just haven't had time.
You dabble.
Still great though. Still love it. Stop.
I switched my name on PlayStation as well. So I stream,
oh, you did?
I stream under Sean Ross 24/7 now.
Really?
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. And then, that first one is free, right? The name change?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, I've been playing Enter the Gungeon.
Nice.
Which I tried co-op with DJ a little earlier.
Yeah.
It seems a little bit easier with two people if you're able to coordinate and stay away. So
I've seen clips of that game, and I am intrigued every time.
How many people?
The amount of lore they put into each weapon.
It's I don't know if it's still half off.
Sorry, the amount of references they put into each
weapon. It may be still half off right now. I'd get it if I were you. $7.50.
I'll check it out.
How many people can play on a map at the same time? Is it max two?
Yeah.
Is it two? Okay.
It's a bullet hell game. You don't want more than two people playing. Yeah.
Well, I also, one other question I want to know, because I was here watching your gameplay, is how do you get to shoot an anvil?
It came out of a barrel. So they have different guns. They have a gun that's a t-shirt gun.
Mm-hmm.
They have a laser gun. They got a poison gun. They have an anvil gun that will shoot out of a barrel.
I think the most dangerous gun you just named with a t-shirt gun.
How
many DPS is in that gun?
Who wants a t-shirt?
They have different modifiers. So like in the game, you can jump over tables and flip tables over and take cover.
Cool.
So they have modifiers where like when you flip a table over, it'll shoot out a shotgun blast.
That's cool.
Or it'll turn into a rocket and explode and hit something.
That's pretty awesome.
I need that at Rendit. I want to be able to flip over a table in a saloon and let it just explode. Right?
If I'm not mistaken, the enemies are bullets themselves, right?
Something every like enemy is some variant of a bullet or a play on words of a bullet, like that's the Gatling Gull or the Gorgon.
Nice.
That's cool.
And there's over 150 guns, and I think they just had like their last big update, which added a bunch of different guns. So.
That's great. Wait, is that included with a $7.50 purchase?
I'm not sure, but it's still a lot of game for the $7.50.
Okay.
Anyway,
I was wondering if it was like a whole package.
Watch the update be like $10.
Hey, are you playing this on PlayStation?
I actually bought it on the Switch and the PlayStation.
Let's see, bought on Xbox.
Oh, you bought
both. I didn't want to buy it at $15, but then I saw it was $7.50. I was like, well, shit, I mean.
You're right. You say, no, I have to now. I mean.
I have to. I got to get it on both. I mean,
I have to now.
So, yeah, I'm having fun with that. Like, if I'm not playing Apex Legends, and I'll play that until it's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that I have a bedtime. I'm a grown up now.
Most grown ups have a bedtime. I have a bedtime now. Mine's at 10 p.m.
But I play a match of Enter the Gungeon before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Cool.
That's like a nightcap.
I like that.
Right, exactly. And then, Jordan, what have we been Apex? Playing?
You've been playing a lot of Apex, Jordan?
Not a lot of Apex, no.
Yeah. That's because his time is elsewhere.
Yeah. Ooh. And that's it. So,
with yours truly. Yeah. Yeah.
He's shaking his head, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, what are you insinuating?
I have no idea. That was a joke that just went nowhere.
Okay, good.
Continue.
So basically, Division 2.
With the homie! All
right. Yeah, that's where you get to
that. Okay. Rolling up in DC.
So yeah, Division 2 has been the majority of my time for these last many weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of Division 1.
Mm-hmm.
I think this game has improved the core mechanics of the first game in most ways, in terms of not only the you feel more impactful with your guns and your weapons than the first one.
First one more skill based?
No.
Okay.
No.
It was
very like bullet spongy. Okay. You know, okay. Percentages, RNG, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like it was more heavy on that aspect of it. It feels like as the first Division progressed, they started noticing that those mechanics were limiting the experience that they wanted to convey in terms of like tactical, like how tactical one can be in a firefight.
Yeah.
Enemy AI has drastically improved, you know.
Ooh.
Which is good, because originally the enemy wouldn't flank you or, you know, use certain tactics against you. Like, the enemy was very smart this time around compared to the first one. The only mechanic they had to flush you out of cover was just send someone up towards you with a bat.
Wow.
It's old school. Like, yeah, I'm not
that's all it was. But they will flank you. They will, you know, press you, you know, yeah, if you're not aggressive enough or effective at taking them out.
DC folks are so dangerous.
Yeah, and it does take place in DC, and they did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
You know, like,
What's your favorite part of this world? Like, in geographically?
Well, all of it's pretty haggard.
The menus. I love most the menus.
No, is there a low screen between menus?
No.
No. Oh. Surprisingly not.
So it's DC's pretty haggard. Mm-hmm. And when I say the haggard, I mean like.
Wait, you mean now or in the game?
In the game.
No. No, it's all right. This is a Crystal Palace. How dare you, sir?
Well, it's funny because the majority of this game does take place in the Golden Triangle.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the Digital Northwest. Union Square.
It ends at Chinatown, right? I think.
No, Chinatown is a part of it. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, that's where the stadium's at. The stadium is Chinatown.
Okay. Okay,
and they have the Chinatown Gallery Place is there. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Near Martin Luther King Library. I'm like, yo, they took their time.
Yeah, I haven't gone to the right.
Okay.
Past that first stronghold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, other than that, I mean, I've enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah.
And it took enough of my time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, Donald is further ahead. Cam and Avery are further ahead. You guys passed over into the world section.
You're in world tier.
No, I'm in world tier one, but I'm done.
Can you explain to me what this world tier means?
You can explain it better than I can, Donald.
So, just real quick, I'm in world tier two. I think Cam's still in world tier one.
Okay, I'm there too. The only reason why I progressed to world tier two was I was playing in your session.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
If I go back to mine, I'm back in world tier one.
One, yeah. Okay, so the world tier is Division 2's way of providing end game content. So what happens, I guess, this is a spoiler for Division 2. Like, if you haven't beaten it, then whatever. I mean, you've probably seen.
That's for 30 seconds, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So at the end of the game, you take back Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. And
you get them to work together? Huh? Pass legislation?
No.
We're past the legislation part. Okay. So you take back Capitol Hill by force.
Okay.
And
you like it.
During the last cutscene, you have this new group of people called Black Tusks. They basically
very interesting in terms of their makeup, because technically they're a paramilitary organization that was funded by private sector, by the Wall Street, basically.
Right. So, and I was actually paying attention playing the game, and one of the walkie-talkie things
Like little cell phones or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you find out that they were actually funding the like Outcasts, the True Sons.
Did not know that, but I'm not surprised. I'm not fine
Is that a bridge between Division 1 and Division 2, since you're talking about the folks in New York?
A few characters they referenced them in the bios, but mainly it's the Aaron guy who set it off. He's still running around. He might be
because I found a couple stuff with him on it. I'm like,
they reference it, you know, like, oh, I'm going to New York to help out because they're really bad.
They just take the Tesla train.
Okay. Right. So like the one thing that they really nail is the whole environmental storytelling.
Oh yeah.
And like
better this time than last one, because even though I gave Cameron an issue when he said there was a story, there wasn't a story at first. Like they improved on that the second time around.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it's way better.
Yeah. So back to world tier. So once Black Tusk takes over the city, you literally watch the map go from white, meaning you cleared it, back to red. So it's just like, oh, fuck. All right. So I got to do this over again.
Mm-hmm.
So they cord off the three strongholds. And basically, this new thing comes into the game called gear score. So all your items that was level gated now all have a gear score attached to them.
Yeah.
That gear score is what's going to be how you approach a stronghold. So your first stronghold is like
250, 280, 290 or whatever.
Right. And then the next stronghold is like 325. Then I think the next one is like 4 something.
So it's like a level progression.
Right. The only thing is that once you beat the stronghold, you get into the next world tier. So you start at world tier 1 once you beat the game. You get to world tier 2, 3, and 4. Then 5 is
the highest. I think 500 is the highest and max.
Yeah, right.
So, quick story about me and my experience online.
Yeah.
Broken. Do not play this game online competitively, because I don't think there's any
The conflicts, though?
No, yeah, like the
I didn't even bother.
Like, there's no ranking system. There are very dangerous people online that roll together, and I have like the maximum 500.
There might be which they did online. They're just hanging around, just want to shoot people.
Yeah,
I think that that has played into their lethalness in a way that I can't truly explain, because I'm going against someone that's not 500 and not dying super fast.
Yeah,
against someone that is 500 and just walks around a corner with a lullaby.
Yeah,
and guns me down it. Like I was, you know. So yeah, there's the online multiplayer is very second thought. They don't really put any effort into it.
Yeah, like we have a story. Yeah, we have a Dark Zone story, but so real quick, I am in World Tier 2, and going from World Tier 1 to World Tier 2, this game did something very different from the other like looter shooters that I play, where once you switch over to World Tier 2, none of your armor gear score changes. Mm-mm. So you have to get new armor.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, and there's no real way of boosting the score of your old armor effectively. You can boost it, but it's like maxed.
Yeah, so, well, some mods add relatively helpful augmentations to your character.
Yeah, but like not DPS. To the gear score though.
No,
so like you have to get new gear.
Well, that's the carrot.
And like the one thing that bothers me about doing that grind again is that to get a piece of gear that is comparable to what you had,
right,
is like. The probability is like so low because it has so many different variables attached to a single like gear.
It takes a methodical play style, which I was using in terms of me clearing out an entire district, including the control points, including the projects that allows you to secure those types of gear like, relatively quickly.
You could do that, or you can just farm for something.
Well, that's like, going through the different control points. It takes two types of play
when
styles.
When it comes to, I guess, this next level of the grind, is it, or do you feel like it is a... It is still a healthy challenge that gets you involved in a game, or do you feel like this is something that is slowing down your enjoyment?
I am completely satiated with this game. I'm full. In terms of what the game was trying to convey to me, in terms of what experience they wanted me to have, I'm done.
Yeah.
Same thing as Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I hit the level. I'm going to play it routinely maybe a couple times, but I have a backlog to attend to. And
so like for right now, you're good with like, Division 2.
I mean, I see myself doing it,
but
I don't have to do it. Like I'm pretty done with this game right now.
So I'm actually pretty much that same point as well. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I feel like, of course, the end game is the most important thing to a looter shooter.
Yes.
Because it's that's where you're going to be spending most of your time.
Well, the main thing that I added was a tidal basin. We have to work towards that. That's the hardest. So, that was an advanced area.
For me, I feel like I appreciate what they did, but I actually think that their end game system is probably the least enjoyable, because I'm going to go back to Anthem. Uh-oh. I think Anthem's end game, even though it was bare as fuck, there's nothing there. I feel like the loot system that they had was a effective loot system, because when you got a Masterwork or when you got a Legendary, it was like, oh, I need to look at this. Like, this is something that I should look
after
at.
After that loot screen, you get back the four Tarsus, and you go through a second loot screen. Yeah. Loot screen. So you can finally
at least on the Division, you can like look at yourself
That's true.
Yeah. Fast travel, like, you know. Or walk over.
Fast travel.
The fast travel is not that fast. Like, the loading in Division 2 is... It's a little hit and miss for me. I understand why it takes so long, because they're, like, loading the big city, and there's no load screen once you're in the city. But it's just like, okay, I just want to get over to my friends over there because they're fighting someone and I have to...
Then you just run.
Yeah.
I run.
Anyways.
Everybody so, DC runs.
Yeah. So back to the loot. Like, I feel like the loot in Division, I appreciate that they give you so much and it's everywhere. But you, of course, the downside to that is just that there's so much to look at.
Right.
And like I made a joke earlier about the favorite part of Division is in the menus. Like, you're going to be in the menus, especially if you're trying to min-max your character. You're going to be in the menus. We were playing with Avery last night.
Yeah.
And he made a joke about, I guess I got to pull out my notebook to start doing some spreadsheet. And it's like, you have to do that.
There are some tangible benefits to certain items, even though they had the same DPS. If you really read, like, the bullet drop-off, some mods can affect that. I'm like, okay, that's very deep.
Yeah, exactly.
And I enjoy that.
And like the critical range or whatever.
But we made some friends last line online last night too.
So real quick, we have a Dark Zone story. We were playing a mission, and it was me, Jordan, Avery. We got to talking about how there's no one in the Dark Zone until this next update that's going to be coming this week.
We jinxed ourselves so hard. Not only, it wasn't like the Darkest Zone was full. It was filled with two individuals with somewhat psychopathic tendencies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Their behavior was problematic.
Very.
Because like they would wave at you and like, you know, joke around a few. And I knew they were up to something. I knew it. And then the moment Avery got a little bit further away, they picked them off. I'm like, wow, these guys are psychopathic.
So what happened was we were playing the Dark Zone.
Right.
We had got contaminated loot. When you get contaminated loot, you have to extract it. So you have to go to a certain point.
A Division 1 that carried over from Division 1.
Right. So you call for a helicopter. The helicopter comes. The helicopter drops a rope. You attach your contaminated loot onto the rope. And then you have to wait like a minute or so before the helicopter can take off. So during that whole exercise, we had these two guys said, no, we actually met them before.
Yeah, no, they're just testing us out beforehand.
So they came over.
Are these guys NPCs or actual?
No, actual people. Actual fucking people.
Probably they're strong. They're like 300s in terms of skill, I believe. So
they were definitely higher than us. So they had came over. And the thing about Dark Zone, I don't know how it is in Division 1, but like you can't immediately shoot a person. You have to switch to, you have to go rogue and then you can shoot a person. So they came over and they were just like, they were literally just like running up to us and doing like different emotes. Mm-hmm. And I was what the hell is going on? And
we're just like, they were friendly. I was very cool. You know, they're going to
let's go dancing.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. No.
So dangerous. Once you start the extraction, enemies come by and you have to basically hold the area until
a whole bunch of enemies, strong ones too. Yeah. Yellows and purples.
Right. So we were fighting the guys and I lost track of like Avery and Jordan.
I tried to keep my eyes on them as best as I could, but they must have doubled around the whole zone and came back to a different area.
Right. So
entry point.
They were basically following Avery.
Oh, yeah.
And they waited until like we were separated from him. And then they switched to Rogue and they killed him.
Took his loot.
And we were like, what the fuck?
Come on over here, let me holler at you.
Right. Like that's like strategy. Like they plotted.
They knew what they were doing.
What size are them Jordans?
After that, it just became a cat and mouse game of finding these two people and killing them. Mm-hmm. And like I managed to take one of them down, but of course the other person could revive you and they're stronger than us, so the other guy turned around and killed me, and I was like, oh, fuck. And, like, everyone else was dead, so it was just like,
so
all right,
two
whatever.
Two guys took down a whole group of you.
Yeah.
It was three of us. Two guys versus three.
Yeah. Yeah.
This sounds like a typical story of Northwest D.C.
They were running with LMGs, and LMGs are so
very
powerful
strong,
in that game.
Especially you had to ride, like, you have, like, the handle on it, or a specific type of handle to improve accuracy. Yeah.
Like, after that, I was like, oh, fuck, well, I'm going to run two LMGs, because clearly that's the way.
Yeah, so and start dancing, down. And you then go rogue and start robbing people.
LMGs are very dangerous.
All right.
But yeah, so that was basically... Oh,
and last point, your specializations. We both picked sharpshooter.
Yeah. So actually, just today, I switched from sharpshooter to bow and arrow, the crossbow.
Okay. What does that do?
That shoots an explosive bolt.
Okay.
It's interesting.
It's kind of like a mix between grenader and sharpshooter thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I bet if you're able to shoot anvils, I think that'd be what you need in Division 2.
The awesomest crossbow. Right,
Division 2, I would recommend picking it up.
Yeah. If you like
your tactical, know, games, your Tom Clancy games, this is their strongest one.
Yeah.
This is like right next to a Wildlands.
Yeah. As a person that doesn't really play Ubisoft games, yes, this is their strongest
one. You'll press X on all of them, huh?
Just hold X. Press.
Just press X and hold.
All right. All right. Well, that's been what we've been playing. And now, a word from our sponsors, T-Shirt Guns.
Hey, everyone. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, tell three people about the podcast. Could be strangers, could be friends, could be loved ones, hated ones. Who cares? Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at Press X, @2Start, at Instagram at Press X, @2Start, and Twitter, Press X, @2S. And now, on our YouTube page at Press X to Start TV. If you've done all these things, well done. You're a real one.
And we are back. So, for gaming news, there has been a very interesting interview that came out.
These news are juicy?
Yeah. And it is with one, Mark Cerny.
Who's he?
The
great
genius creator of the PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Yeah. And he had an interview with Wired. So this all this comes from Wired. And their talk was about Sony's next console, the PlayStation 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening.
Installs in your eyeballs.
So what, yeah, I remember that commercial, the PlayStation 9 commercial.
Yeah, that was cool.
That ridiculous, like circular globe.
They tried it.
Yeah, that was.
And then that became the Kinect.
Yeah. Right. All right. So they had an interview, and basically Mark Cerny was talking about the next gen console and the things that it's going to have without being super specific, mm-hmm. other than the
it's going to be powerful. It's going to be great. I can't tell you how great.
Right. So or how much it's going to cost.
Yeah, that Mitt Romney plan.
Right.
What's the big takeaway from this interview?
This is an excerpt. The PlayStation's next generation console ticks all of the next gen quote unquote boxes, starting with the AMD chip at the heart of the device. The CPU is based on third generation AMD's Ryzen line. I actually have a Ryzen chip in my computer upstairs. So big ups. That's my PS5 up there. And contains a 8-core processor.
Okay.
Which is strong.
That's very strong.
The GPU is a custom variant of Radeon's Navi family. I'm not sure what that is. And it supports ray tracing. Basically, ray tracing is going to be the next generation feature of the PlayStation 5.
Of both next generation consoles.
Yeah, so is Microsoft going to have ray tracing?
Everyone's doing ray tracing nowadays.
But how does that affect our gameplay? Like, what does that in later?
Thank you, Doug. That's my question, too.
So, ray tracing is the immediate benefits is largely visual because it mimics the way light bounced off objects to objects in a scene. Yeah.
So how close are we to the uncanny valley?
We're not there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
No, I mean, this might have been it.
A solid question.
This might have been it.
We're definitely not there yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So reflective surfaces and refraction through glass and liquid can be rendered much more accurately.
Wow.
Even in real time, leading to heightened realism. So it's going to be a race to who can use that effectively and most cost efficiently.
I remember the PS3, cutting edge.
Yeah.
I will not say the PS3 was not cutting edge at the time.
It was too cutting edge.
But
that was a problem.
Impact it had on developers.
Yeah.
Well, they tried to use some custom cell architecture. And
yeah.
They're saying the PS5 is going to be an iteration of the PS4, which is easy to develop for.
Right. As long as they're able to capture that.
It's just going to be more powerful. Time.
Right.
As well as they said they're going to move to SSDs, which is solid state drives for the storage. And
what's the benefit of SSDs?
Initially, it sounds like nothing until somebody broke it down.
Yeah.
Ultimately, things will load in faster. You'll have less pop-ins.
So with SSD, the way that it speeds up loading is the fact that when you have a normal disk drive, you basically have a limited bandwidth. So the information has to travel through the bandwidth. But with SSD, that bandwidth is expanded like much wider. So it's just like...
So information or data can transfer.
Right.
So you know what? That actually plays into their greatest title being God of War, you know, in terms of that game being seamlessly... like there's no load screens in that game, right?
That and his actual example, Mark Cerny actually explained it. So God of War as well as Spider-Man, when you're doing the fast travel, quote unquote, instead of the fast travel taking 15 seconds to load up the entire map, it'll take less than a second or so.
That's good.
That's awesome.
That's great.
It said it would actually speed up a lot of games too. So like they limit how fast the character can move because of how long it would take to bring in the textures and stuff.
Right, is that why Arthur Morgan has a pimp walk when he goes through the world?
Nah, he's just a real ass nigga. That's right.
he got too many guns in his pocket.
He got that
That's actually a good point, though, because the way that I see that having the most benefit to games would be like a racing game.
Mm-hmm.
So like you could essentially do that like burnout blur vision thing when you're going super fast versus like
burnout and wipeout and stuff like that.
Yeah, wipeout. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a blurring effect.
But like they wouldn't have to like BS it. They could actually have the like stuff there. Yeah.
And it's funny because Sony is announcing all this and Microsoft, of course, is trying to come back with their one up and they're saying they're going to have two versions of the Xbox when they come out, a more powerful version and a quote unquote base version.
Yeah,
that was the design this current generation.
Yeah.
Xbox One X and the Xbox S.
So another tantalizing thing that Mr. Cerny said was that in terms of pricing, this console is going to be oof, I can't remember the
600.
No. He didn't give an exact pricing.
No numbers.
But he said that it's going to essentially be attractive to the gamer,
hardcore gamers that are totally fine with putting up $150 on one game.
Yeah,
including the season pass.
What game is that?
Day one, whichever game.
You must be talking about Call of Duty because that's the only game that tries to build people for $150.
Oh, you know,
Assassin's Creed too,
or Division 2. Yeah. Like, Division 2 has some ridiculous additions.
The gamers, quote unquote, the ones that his interpretation.
Any of that content?
Nah,
no.
It's a statue.
You know, I think when it comes to pricing, there is always going to be highest at the beginning because who's the population that's going to want PS5? Within the first few weeks.
I know.
Yeah, me too. That's what I'm saying.
So we call GameStop and ask if they're taking pre-orders.
Oh, really? Right. So this is the population who has high disposable income, who's willing to pay a high top dollar to do something.
Sorry, not necessarily high disposable income.
Relatively.
Willing to sacrifice certain things for video games.
Right.
That, or they got some kids they need to buy affection for. Whatever it takes.
So I think with that said, he pretty much created this
500, 600. I'm calling it, but it's going to be between 500 and 600.
I think it's going to be 450.
450?
I think it's going to be
500. It's going to be under 500.
Under 5?
I think it's under 5. Yeah.
Under 5. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the PS4 was 400. The Xbox One was 500.
Yeah. The only reason why I say 450, because I know for a fact they're going to take a loss on this. They're not going to pull the PS3 thing. They've learned from that. But like with the SSD stuff, it's still not that cheap yet.
They're making their own.
Oh, really?
They're working on developing their own. That was also in that article that I read with Mark Cerny from KitGuru.net.
Really? That's...
So they've started...
Sony with their proprietary stuff is... That's not...
But it's not like you can... It's not like you're going to need to buy it on your own.
I'm sorry, Sony's just not a PC company. Like, they're playing PC. Like, Sony's a great electronics company. Like, they're great electronics, but they're not a...
I mean, they made a bio.
They did.
I have a question then, Jordan. What is Microsoft's response to these big news to PlayStation?
But you're the Xbox.
Okay, so talking about Microsoft, Jordan?
The Xbox One S, the diskless Xbox One S is going to be coming.
Sade.
No, the all digital. That's easier to say than disc list.
Yeah, you're right. So it's going to be coming out May the 7th for $250.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be pre-downloaded with three bangers.
Okay.
Minecraft.
Forza 3.
Oh, wait, that was...
And...
Yeah, he was serious. Minecraft is actually included.
Yeah, no, I was trying to do a thing. So yeah, you're right. Minecraft, Forza 3, Forza Horizon 3, not Forza 3, Forza Horizon 3, okay. Not 4 for some reason. And Sea of Thieves.
Three
bangers that you will have the most enjoyment with.
Microsoft, stop trying to make Thea Thieves happen. It's not gonna happen. It's not a thing.
So yeah, May 7th, and that's pretty much it.
Included hard drive space? Is that 1 terabyte?
1 terabyte.
That's
one terabyte. Trash. So you know, if you're trying to limit the amount, the article was pretty funny because the spokesman that was referencing the content, like the content of it, they said, we are cognizant of realtors, or we're not trying to be adverse towards realtors. Realtors being your Targets, your Walmarts, and your GameStops. Okay.
GameStop. Yeah.
That's a lie. they can care less about them. Like, seriously, they don't care, which is fine.
In a way, do you think, though, this is kind of them testing this method out to say, well, if this product works successfully at this level, would the Xbox 2 also have, is that waiting a couple years online, maybe at the get-go have, all right, you can have a traditional one with a disk drive, and we're also at launch going to have this diskless one drive. And
Xbox
maybe by
has
then,
always enjoyed its multiple versions.
Yeah.
Microsoft's always enjoyed the multiple version consoles, even back to the 360s.
Yeah, they're absolutely testing the waters like right
that,
now.
So trying to build the infrastructure in place to, you know, for the consumer support,
just to really say like a gaming box that you just stream to and
it's a test
to.
That's why they put these, you know, Minecraft and Forza Horizon 3. This is crowdfunding.
Yeah,
crowdfunding quality assurance.
I will say the only other thing about this I'm very surprised is 1 terabyte, but I would think it'd be a lot more than
at
that
least twice
that. Yeah, because you can get that.
They're selling it at a loss at this point. How long has Xbox One been out?
That's true.
Forever. almost
2013.
They get included 2 terabyte. That's laziness.
As a person with a 500 gig storage space on my PS4,
oh lord,
1 terabyte sounds perfect.
You're broke boy.
So speaking about broke boy, Sean, what's happening with the Nintendo Switch?
Okay, so they have a cheaper version for all you broke niggas out there. I'm joking. Of the Nintendo Switch, it's still going to be able to be hooked up to the TV, but the Joy-Cons are more than likely not going to be detachable.
Interesting.
And possibly...
Wait. You mean the piece at the end?
Yeah, the little Joy-Con. They won't be detachable. Yeah, it's ultimately a better, more supported PS Vita without the back touchpad.
Okay.
And a camera.
Wow.
It lives. I mean, oh, wow.
But...
Who do you think this actually appeals to? Like, other kids.
Kids.
Kids that they did not want to buy a $300 Switch for that you can break off the Joy-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a 2DS, but more advanced.
Yeah.
And
smart move. If it's not going to cost them too much, that's a smart move.
More likely, it's going to be like $250.
Yeah.
More likely. Yeah. That's coming out this fall. They're going to have a more powerful version later on.
Mm-hmm.
Going to get that jump.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually funny because in our household, we are a Pokemon household. So earlier this year, when we saw the Pokemon news.
Oh, yeah. Like Detective Pokemon?
Huh? No. Oh. The new Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Copping it.
So we were just like, all right, well.
We need two Switches.
Exactly. There's no way we're going to share the Switch to play Pokemon. That's not how we ever work.
No.
So we have to have a second.
You're a loving
Switch
couple. Why? How dare they expect you to share?
Why would we put that strife in our household?
Battle and never. Beat each other's brains out in Pokemon.
Yeah. Exactly. And you need two Switches to do that. So
two Switches save marriages.
Yeah. Yes.
You need to become a dual PS4 household like myself.
We're not that far yet. We're not that far, but we're working.
I might be getting close to that.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So we bought a second Switch, and now to have news that a more powerful Switch is coming out next year, I'm just like, okay, well, the second Switch was your Switch, so I guess this next Switch would be my Switch.
She don't need to. She's not a power gamer though.
Exactly.
So she's good.
Exactly.
Wow.
A power gamer, and I won't put up $500, $600 for a new console.
She can't respond right now because she's washing her hair. Ooh. Perfect timing. Anyways.
Next one.
GameStop. Doug.
The store still lives on.
Yeah.
How?
Which store?
Oh, but how about giving you money back? Or maybe taking money? I'm getting kind of confused with this new policy. So GameStop has just announced, and they did this kind of like in a sly way. This news was actually broken on the Twitter by Cheap Ass Gamer, who got a hand on a company member to outline a new transaction process when it comes to Days Gone.
Wow.
They're calling this part of their Guaranteed to Love It program, which says that at least for this game, when you buy this game, you have the opportunity to return it to GameStop in the form of store credit worth the full price of the game, even if it's been opened, so long as you return it within 48 hours.
That's a lot of shade.
Does not include sales tax.
48 hours.
Yeah, 48 hours to play a game. If you hate it so much, like if Anthem was on disc. You get your $59.99 back in store credit. So you get your money back, but store credit. So they actually keep your money, but now they have an open game. But, GameStop is a pawn shop.
There are some people who are going to beat the game within 48 hours and return the game. And with all other games, they're going to abuse the hell out of it. Just like
Blockbuster.
Yeah, Blockbuster and Lion King back in the day. Not that we're that old or anything.
But GameStop still keeps your money because you're only getting store credit.
Yeah.
You'll just get another game.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, but here so far, we only know this is working just for Days Gone. They haven't released any other titles that this Guaranteed program will work.
Did they provide a reason on why Days Gone?
There's not really one that we got. I mean, it just seemed like they're trying to find ways to get more people to come back to the store. They're trying to have this better, gamer friendly image. And since you've had this rise of game, like I think Anthem is probably a
catalyst.
Indicator of this. Yeah, mm-hmm. because you people who pay money for games, they are
and
not to the quality that they're expecting.
Yeah.
And you have this pushback from the PlayStation store where they don't want to give you a refund.
Even in Xbox is the same way. You can't get a refund.
Well, PlayStation changed the return policy.
But that's only if you don't download it.
Yeah, no, if you
it's more Steam like now.
Yeah, part of it is download, but like if you also download and it's broken, so Anthem,
yeah,
then you can get your money back.
And of course,
so broken, can I get my money back.
But here's the thing, though. Who defines if it's broken, though?
Yeah, that's
I know. No, it's broken. It's totally broken. It does not work at all for
me. They have to define those lines in terms of what.
I smell smoke behind my PS4. Broken.
Oh God!
But so, Sony,
yeah,
this whole thing is perfect because I could see someone that I know, not calling any names, getting Days Gone, and then trading it back to put all that money back, all that money on The Last of Us 2.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right.
And
that's cool.
And please send us a tweet of your experience and press at the start. We would love to know how it is.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, Days Gone comes out in a few days. So. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to see if any of that changes. But yeah, GameStop is trying to be friendly. Say, hey, if you don't like it, bring it back to us. We're like Starbucks. We'll see if we can make it better for you.
GameStop used to be the spot.
Speaking of Days Gone, ours truly, Marcus, will be playing it. And Sean.
I'll be streaming it.
Yeah. Cool, so babes. We will definitely have some stuff on it. Maybe even a stream on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get stream it and complete it.
All right, will you post it or let people know on Facebook or Twitter when you?
Yeah, I'll hop on. More than likely start a post like Tuesday or Wednesday.
So you hear that?
So by the time you actually guys hear this, I'll probably already be streaming it.
Right,
at Sean Ross 24/7.
There you go. All right, so next up, Jordan.
What about it? What about
what's going
I
on?
I hear that. Someone is going to E3.
Not me, dog.
And it's crazy. Not Sony either. So who?
Yeah, Microsoft's going to be there.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. June 9th.
Well, you got to say the date.
Yeah, I just said it. June 9th. In terms of what content is going to be in their presentation, I have no clue. So, I would assume it's being focused on Gears and Halo.
Yeah.
And probably they will introduce more information on the Master Chief series coming to show
time. Oh, the actual show series.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
my question is, do you think it's been enough time since last year E3 that any of their studios, especially like the Initiative, you think they could show anything?
The Initiative.
That's their new studio that's supposed to be their Santa Monica studio.
Initiative that was producing
It was a new game.
A new game?
That's their new studio that they put together.
Well, I haven't heard any information coming from them.
Yeah.
Because I mean, for Gears, it's still 2019.
Yeah.
As like this up.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I would assume that'll be during the fall.
Right.
And we'll probably get more information on the next Xbox during this E3 presentation too as a formal, unveiling. Because people are assuming that the next Xbox and PlayStation are going to come out next year.
Yep. Oh, by the way, that was my prediction like last year that PS4 was going to come out 2020. So, you know.
Is it PS4?
Yeah, PS4 part 2, all right? Whatever.
Sounds about right, John.
Oh, that's one part we did forgot. The PS5 will be backwards compatible to PS4.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're right. PS4 part 2.
Exactly.
Is the apt way to describe it.
So, I make no mistakes.
Expect more information on Halo Infinite.
Yeah.
And the content of that game, which is very obscure.
And the possible loot boxes that's going to be in that game.
Every game has loot boxes, dude.
Oh, and also a Halo TV show about that.
That's going to have loot boxes in that show as
well. Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that. It's actually sent to your house.
Right.
You know. So, and also Gears and a little bit of Forza sprinkled in there. Mm-hmm. Maybe some Sea of Thieves. Mm. I don't know.
Mm.
No one cares. Those titles, at least Sea of Thieves
had an update recently. It's supposed to be substantial.
The quality of life has improved in Sea of Thieves greatly, so I might need to check that out.
So if you're having fun with Sea of Thieves, good, glad you're enjoying yourself.
We support you too.
E3's not going away.
So
for now,
speaking of supporting,
oh my goodness, you know, Ubisoft is doing their best to keep on with the support. You know, they are based in France.
Mm-hmm.
And as you heard on Monday, April 15th,
tragically,
the Cathedral de Notre Dame de Paris suffered a great fire. Much of it towards its roof. Its famous steeple was burned down. To me, I guess looking back, we see like the rear of the church, but the front to me is like the two towers. That is still left standing alive. Their great artifacts are preserved, but they did receive catastrophic damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ubisoft, among many other businesses have been donating to the cause. Ubisoft in particular donated about 500,000 euros.
Yeah, Ubisoft.
Right.
500 million.
So, actually, they have
correct. Yeah, Ubisoft is donating 500,000 euros, but they did receive about 500 million in donations in total from people.
Yeah. Wow. The church, the Catholic Church then, right? They're the ones
who... Well, technically it's a property of the state.
Yeah, it's not owned by the Catholic Church.
Oh, it's owned by the state.
It's leased to the church, yeah.
Okay. Hey, didn't know.
Didn't know. How about you donate some of that back to Africa that you stole from them?
So Ubisoft, for 1 week, they allow their Assassin's Creed Unity to be available for free on PC. By the time you hear this, I believe that would be unavailable. But they're asking for people to contribute with their donations, and that they're going to allow the government to use their game to help reconstruct the church, since much of Assassin's Creed Unity has the church in it.
We should probably redeem this free Assassin's Creed Unity and can probably play it on Stadia when it comes out.
Oh, that's
this is why I always get free things, guys.
Yes, true. That's true.
oh shit, I already got games.
Coming from the guy with E3 passes that he just happened to have.
Just like, what?
You know?
Are you having E3 passes?
I get invited every year, but I don't go just because
he's Sean MF Ross. That's why.
Yes. Much free.
Right? So the cool thing about this is, as Doug said, that Assassin's Creed Unity actually scanned a lot of the interior of the church.
Right. Even the rape dungeons.
Oh, no. So, like,
back in tip-top shape. Folks. Right. Back to whipping bitches in no time. I'm sorry.
It's really cool that, like, you know, games are actually helping, are actually preserving art in a way. So
and that's one thing I think is admirable about the Assassin's Creed franchise in general, because they've done similar work when they were in Rome in terms of scanning a lot of the architecture, like the Parthenon and Colosseum. And so it is interesting to see how this is how people say, you know, question the value of video games. Here's another one in which I don't think people originally thought of it, but now that we have such great technology, you can now see it. So yeah, not only can you climb Notre Dame, you can also help support its rebuild.
That's awesome. That's really cool. You know what's not cool, though?
Dandruff?
This has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Unfortunately, it is over.
That wasn't a cool outro.
And we promote inclusivity?
We do. We do. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. Also, don't forget to subscribe, because that helps a lot. If you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. You should definitely check it out, because it looks a little different. Some would say more cool. I would say cooler.
Ice cool.
Would you also say Frieza?
I was trying to figure out how to work that in. I was trying to figure it out.
But you couldn't, because you're not cool. End of Stand Podcast.
I'm King Cold, and that's been Press X to Start. We're out.
Toodaloo.